And then we'll start. Okay, Rabosa, so let's try to start on time. And again, so we're limiting to about 30 minutes, hard stop at 7:45. And what I want to do this evening, actually, is pick up on a question that we began to explore last time. And I think Susan, you may have pushed me more on this, and we didn't learn so much about it. If you remember, in our last year, way back when, we learned about Rav Henkin's approach to Christian music. And then at the end, you know, a number of you, rightfully so, were asking, okay, great, but the 3 weeks began, and now we're in the 9 days. What about music during this period of Avelus, this period of mourning on the Jewish calendar? And so what I thought we would do is a brief tshuva by Rav Nachum Rabinovich. As you can tell, we're jumping around some of my favorite poskim that I like to read from. And just to refresh our memories, Rav Nachum Rabinovich, he passed away recently, maybe about a year ago or so, during COVID. And he was, I think he grew up in Canada. He was a rabbi in Charleston. He went to Neri Yisrael, and he made Aliyah eventually and became the Rosh Yeshiva of Birchas Moshe in Mali Adumim. And he's one of the people who you would consider one of the Gedolim, one of the great rabbinic figures of the modern Orthodox / Dati Lumi world. And so you'll see when he deals the questions of mourning, the questions of music during times like the 3 weeks, you'll see if some of his approach, some of his unique approach comes out there. So let me share the sources with you. And what we're looking at basically is a tshuva. So again, as it always goes, if you are able / want to follow along, I think it can add. But certainly, if you're just listening, I'd like to think that you have what to gain as well. So let me just get to my downloads. Here's the file. And you should see it momentarily in the chat. So there it is, a PDF. Okay, so let's jump right into it. So the question is, Ha'im mutter lahazin lemuzika b'mein bein ha-mitzarim u'b'mein sfiras ha-omer? Is one allowed to listen to music during the 3 weeks, during sfiras ha-omer, which are periods of mourning on the Jewish calendar? And also, let's say you are practicing an instrument for professional reasons. Are you allowed to continue practicing? You're practicing the guitar, you're practicing the violin, whatever it may be. Am I allowed to continue practicing, or do I have to forego practicing for 3 weeks and then become rusty and relearn things afterwards? So that's the question that he is dealing with. And so something important, a little important background that we have to look at is, you know, is there really just a prohibition to listen to music during the 3 weeks, during Sfira? Or maybe it is actually a broader prohibition of listening to music that applies all year long. So the funny thing is that you're not really going to find in earlier literature sources that say, you shall not listen to music during the 3 weeks of mourning. Rather, what will we find? So if you look at the beginning, he quotes the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, "V'nirli da'asa lasos rikudin mecholos miyudzayin betamuz ve'elach." So originally, what was the ban? The original ban was on having weddings during this period of time. But then what the Magen Avraham did, a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, he extrapolated from there that it's not simply weddings that we're not supposed to be holding during the 3 weeks, but actually it's really any festive kind of gathering that incorporates dancing and revelry. So this is basically what happened. It started off as no weddings. It became no dancing or revelry, which then became nowadays, many communities, people won't listen to any music, even recorded music, save for a cappella. And this is based on a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, where he said recorded vocals are okay, but recorded instrumentals are problematic. And it's a fascinating discussion about, well, what does that mean? You know, and this gets into a question we discussed in our shiur with Rav Henkin at the end. You see, when I listen to music through the radio, am I hearing the instruments via the radio? Or is the iPod, the phone that I'm listening to the music on, the computer, is it its own, is the phone the instrument itself? And we dealt with a question about, well, if I treat the computer as its own source of music, meaning it's not transferring a voice from point A to point B, it's recreating a voice, and it's not the original voice, it's disassociated from the source. So then that's a possible heter for listening to, for a man to listen to a woman's singing voice, to listen to Kol Isha, because you're not actually hearing the woman's voice, you're hearing a computer's recreation of the voice. But then we said that if I accept that leniency, I also have to accept the stringency that if I'm trying to fulfill a mitzvah via Zoom, such as listening to Megillah, well, if it's just a recreation of somebody's voice and the computer isn't considered to be amplifying the original source, then if I need to hear someone's voice to fulfill a mitzvah, I'm not actually hearing their voice. So that was something we dealt with at the end of last time. And it's something for us to bear in mind here as well. When we talk about the question of, is it mutter for me to listen to music on the radio, on the computer nowadays? Part of that question is how do we view recorded music on the radio? Is it just a recreation of the original voice? Or we see it as an amplification and I'm actually hearing the original source. I'm hearing someone's voice just via a device. So that's the question there. But we'll get to that in a moment. So more of the background. So Velamalo Hiskir Kli Zemer, I got a question for you. If one's not supposed to be listening to music during the 3 weeks, why did the Magen Avraham stop there? When Magen Avraham saying, by the way, not only should you not have weddings, you shouldn't be dancing and having revelry either. Well, okay, while you're at it, tell me, I shouldn't play instruments. Why did the Magen Avraham omit the ban on instruments that seems ubiquitous at this point? It's not that he didn't hold of it. You see, some people, they ask me, can I go to a movie theater during the 3 weeks or during the 9 days? Is it appropriate for me to go to a movie theater? And so you don't really see this question addressed by most rabbinic authorities. Why? Because most poskim would tell you it's usher to go to a movie theater all year round. So you're not going to find someone who's going to tell you you can't go to a movie theater during the 9 days or during the 3 weeks, because they would tell you you're not allowed to go to a movie theater all year round. Many poskim would say that. And that harkens back to our tshuva from Rav Moshe Sternbach, where we talked about the guy, can he break his parents' remotes so that way they wouldn't be over the isser of watching television. So it's the same logic over here. Yunesha Kli Zemer Asurim Kol Hashana Bein Agzir Shetiknu LeZecher HaKorban K'mefurash B'Shulchan Aruch K'in Gazer Shol L'Nagim Kli Shir V'Chol Mini Zemer V'Chol Mashiach Kol Shol Shir L'Sameach Bahem V'Also Shomim Nei HaKorban. Because we already have on the books, after our temple was destroyed, if you look in the Gemara Maseches Gittin, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he cites here, really, we're not supposed to be listening to music all year round. So that's why there's no, you don't see any many poskim saying, don't listen to music during the 3 weeks, don't listen to music during Sfira. If you look in the Gemara, it would sound like we shouldn't be listening to music every single day of the year.
But how can he say, how can anybody say that in our Tehillim? The Tehillim are all full of musical instruments.
So it would mean, okay, good. So what we need to do is, what Phyllis is pointing out is, we can't just look at the Gemara at face value and say that all music is prohibited. But clearly what we need to figure out is there must have been certain, let's call them limitations or qualifications as to this broad-ranging prohibition of listening to music. I mean, because you think about it, close your eyes and think about the firmest person you know in this entire world. Do they not listen to music ever? they might only listen to specific kinds of music, perhaps, but I don't know. And he's going to say this in the tshuva, actually. He says, you know, I'll just skip ahead. You look at the bottom line over here on page one. Upuk chazi mai amadaber. Look at what everyone does. Shayom nafutsu ma'on mashir radio rash mekol hiyotzi b'zeh. There's all sorts of radios and different kinds of devices. The yeshem rechoz b'shchunos hacharedios b'yerushalayim. You could go to Haredi neighborhoods in Jerusalem. Shekol haklato shal shir rikudim. Chassidim boki behem b'chol pit mikol pina. Minaboker out of Arabing Potzeh Peh Metzavtzi. You go to some Haredi neighborhood, outside the Svarim store, they're going to be playing the latest Yidel Didels. And you don't see any Haredi, you know, even Rav Moshe Shcherbach, as far as I know, again, I'm not an expert, he's written many shuls, but as far as I know, I don't think he has come out against listening to kosher music in general. So if there, you know, there's some sort of disconnect over here, like Phil is pointing out. Even the frumest people we can think of listen to some form of music during the year. So what is the nature of this general prohibition of music during the year? And then twofold, what is the specific intensified nature of the prohibition during the 3 weeks /9 days / Sphira? Okay, so that's what we're dealing with here.
Was this to do with the destruction of the temple, though? I mean, you know, because, of course, the Tehillim were written before the temples were destroyed. So,
okay.
I mean, were they trying?
So, Susan, I think what we need to say is, and he's going to point out in a moment, but because you all are bringing very good questions against my point here, some Mefarshim, what they say is, what kind of music is prohibited? Maybe it's instrumental music that's problematic. But singing Tehillim during Hallel is not necessarily a problem. And also depends on the context. Maybe the context of a mitzvah is different. So we will, God willing, over the next two paragraphs, address these questions. And then at the end, you'll tell me if we successfully answer these questions or if there's still certain things that remain elusive to us. So Yeshem Shneisum Shom Be'in Ashira Zemer. Broadly speaking, there are two types of prohibitions on music in Judaism. Number one, ha'echad, simcha shishba divrei erva gira yitzarim v'nivol peh, music that has, as you know, frivolity or, you know, sexuality in there, that's crass. Bisuraya apavni akorban. That was usur, that was prohibited even before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Nivel Peh was always Aser. What did the destruction of the temple introduce to us? Hasheni mipnei ha-churban gazru la'aser simcha b'chli zemer. What did the rabbis prohibit? Having simcha through instrumental music. So those are some key points. If I may just finish the formulation. Simcha and instruments, kli zemer. The afilu shira bepeh al hayayin she simcha yisera. Also, so there's two kinds, either with using instruments, or number two, even just a cappella, but singing it over wine, over alcoholic beverages, those are the kinds of simcha that would be problematic. Baram, however, kolza amor rap mine zemer hasuim lissameach behem. But what kind of music is problematic to use instrumental music for? Music that one generally uses for simcha purposes. Avo muzika she'ena shel simcha lo nesara. But music which is not designated for the purpose of simcha, that was never usur. And he takes even a step further. The Adarava, not only was non-simcha-oriented music permissible, but Avosenu, how you know, I think we actually, maybe in our Mishnah crowd, and maybe before my days, this may have come up, where it talks about in the Mishnayos and in the Talmud, it talks about how at funerals, they would have, well, they'd have the criers, you'd apparently there weren't enough relatives crying already, so they'd hire people to weep as well. I always found that a little bit humorous, you know, it's like you hire a weeper. And then in addition, they would also be playing certain wind instruments in order to, accompany and to aid with the sadness. I mean, I remember I did a funeral recently, and there was a woman who wanted, I think she brought a violin, and she wanted to play something. So we actually, as we were lowering the mace in, she was playing Mizmor LeDavid on her violin. So, you know, it's a thing that we see nowadays also, that people bring instruments, and the instruments actually, they don't detract from the seriousness and from the somberness of the moment, but in fact, many times certain instruments and music can facilitate and enhance that kind of ambiance. Omnam bedoros achron is battle minogzeh, but nonetheless, I mean, again, you know, sometimes you'll see this, but most funerals you go to today, we don't specifically hire instruments. You know, you call up Tom Gallagher or someone who's arranging a funeral. I don't think they generally offer, we'll hire someone to play instruments there as well. I don't think that's part of the package.
They play taps for veterans.
Oh, very good. Right. That's a good point, Susan. Right. So they have the bagpipes, right?
No, just maybe a bugle.
Bugle. Right. So that's a good point. We actually do see it nowadays. So
you might see bagpipes in the police department, even for a Jewish funeral, I think you might.
Yes. I think veteran theory would get a 21-gun salute. I'm not sure if that's still practiced. Zadie, you're a veteran.
Veterans don't get 21-gun salutes, but.
Well, if you can get a squad together to fire a salute, yes. Taps are played at funerals.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I remember one time at another funeral back when I was in Plainview, went to Wellwood, and when I was there, it's a Jewish cemetery, and I remember seeing that there was, I think you call it an honor guard, who gave a salute with their rifles. So, okay, these are different practices that you see nowadays, and back in the day, it was standard practice at Jewish funerals as well.
I believe that the firing of the rifles takes place after the casket is lowered into the grave.
After it's lowered in. Okay, so they, you know, I'm sure they have their own minhagim, and you know, I'm sure they've consulted their Shulchan Aruch and Moshe Kalin figured out what to do in those cases.
Since I haven't been buried yet, I really don't know.
Hopefully not for a long time.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so let's go forward. So kach gam besimcha shel mitzvah v'mechatzno aviv ben mishta o omrim shiros v'tishpachos la'Hashem Yisrael. Phyllis, this was your point. And certainly at a chatzna, at a wedding, or when singing praises to God, ein shemet shel iser lo b'kli zemer v'lo b'peh. Certainly the rabbis, when they banned music, they did not ban singing praises to God, whether it be vocally or instrumentally or both together. The other Abba, b'kach misrabe kovod shemayim v'minag Yisrael torahu. On the contrary, not only is it permissible, but it enhances the glory of heaven. It enhances God's glory and minag Yisrael torahu. The customs of the Jewish people are in good standing, and certainly it is sanctioned. As Rambam writes, "Uvar nogel yisrael lomar divrei sishpachos or shir shel hodos le'el chiyotze be'elu al hayayin." And so, in a permissible context, when someone's singing praises to God, when someone is, at a wedding, so there it would be appropriate. You can sing music, you can bring the schnapps around, and everything will be hunky dory. Okay. Now, Phyllis, do you have a question? I'll just pause here for a moment.
I forgot what it was already.
Well, hopefully, I think I addressed your point about Tehillim, though.
I guess I was asking under what circumstances would the instrumental music be allowed versus not allowed?
Right. So I think the important point is that it's not being done in an overly simchatika manner. Now, the issue is, you look nowadays, and you see, again, even in the frumis circles, they get together for you know, like you have a Yaakov Shragi concert. The Yaakov Shragi concert, Lav Dafka, is celebrating a Sia Mishnayos or, you know, it's not, there's nothing necessarily going on. It's like a Chol Moed concert, a family outing. How's that mutter? It's very difficult to actually justify halachically. But if you recall, we've done a few classes on music in the past, by the way. So, you know, I hope we're, I like bringing in things that we've learned previously. If you recall, when we learned to Pesach time, we were learning about Shir Shirim, and we learned a tshuva from Rav Usher Weiss in Minchas Usher.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And Rav Usher Weiss said there, when he was talking about how one is not supposed to take psukim from Shir Shirim, psukim from our Tanakh, and turn it into music for our own enjoyment. So he asked the question, wait a minute, so how are we allowed to do this nowadays? The Jewish music industry, especially nowadays, relies on just taking psukim out of Tanakh and then putting your own tunes to them. You know, they're too lazy to write their own lyrics, so they just, they're like, oh, the lyrics are already written for me. Now I just need to figure out a tune. So he said, how's this mutter? He says, look, if we're not listening to psukim as our lyrics, we're going to be listening to whatever's on the radio instead. So it's the lesser of the two evils, which is very interesting. Again, you know, you would think maybe there'd be some like very frum sect out there that maybe I'm just not aware of that says, you know what? We read the Gemara, we read the poskim, and we think we're not going to rely on some das yachid. Rather, we want to go me'ikar hadin. We want to follow as the rabbis intended, and we are not listening. We're not going to live concerts all year round. It'd be interesting,
I would,
you know?
Like to suggest that the answer is that there's a time for every season under the sun.
Kohelis,
exactly. We have a year, and in the during the course of the year, we have a period of mourning. We have periods of celebration, and you're supposed to gauge your attitude, your behavior, in accordance with what's appropriate for that particular season.
Okay, so I would agree. You know, there's different seasons. There's a season to be jolly, I believe. That's I think something I heard you sing as well, Zadie. So, okay, let's just get. You know, we have about 5 minutes left, so let's just get down the essential points, and then God willing, you know, any remaining questions I'll address. So he quotes the Rama in the next paragraph. What was the Rama prohibiting? The Rama was what did the rabbis mean? The rabbis didn't mean when you backray, when you know every now and then you want to listen to live music, and ushaloba beis hamishta, and you're not doing it in a bar. Okay, I know in our community we actually have a minhag for rabbis to get together playing music at a bar, but that's beyond my pay grade. But the Rama suggests that when the rabbi said don't listen to live music, all they had back then, of course, was live music, instrumental music. It's talking about someone who's like a king, someone who's very wealthy and could afford to have his servants play music for him as he gets up in the morning, play music for him to go to sleep. If you think about in Tanakh how Shaul HaMelech had David play the harp for him in order to help him ease his mind. So someone who's very wealthy and has a Smithers to attend to him and has an Alfred to attend to him. These are just in pop culture, the different butler names. So for someone like that, that's what the rabbis were saying. That's too much comfort. That's too much pleasure in the face of our destroyed temple. But every now and then to go to a concert and it's not being done over alcoholic beverage, that might be mutter, he says. That might not be included. And again, he quotes, not quotes, but he shares with us his personal experience about how even the frumest neighborhoods, they'll listen to music and nobody complains. And trust me, we've learned enough chuas already where we've seen rabbis get upset about things you don't think they would get upset about. And so why wouldn't this be one of them? Apparently, if no one is making a big deal, it must not be an issue, right? I would think. But let's get the conclusion. So now we know about music in general. What about music during the 3 weeks? That brings us to the final paragraph. As you guessed, we're not getting to the second tshuva today. but this one I think is very much worth our while. Ulam vaday shvevein ha-mitzarim roi shel ha'az in the musika shel simcha afiyu belo rikudim. So during the 3 weeks, one should not be listening to music, even if it's not accompanied with dancing. Omnam b'meisir sa'omer lo nagulasur ela simcha shel rikudim u'mecholos. Because, again, you look in the Magen Avraham that we saw before, what was the Magen Avraham's issue? With dancing, with revelry. But music that isn't accompanied with dancing and revelry should not be problematic. And in general, during the rest of the days of the year, if you avoid listening to this kind of music, unless it's for the simcha of performing a mitzvah, you're a holy guy, he says. We'll call you holy. He says, why would one want to refrain from all this simcha music during the year? Because if you look at all the quote, he puts it in quotation marks, Hasidic music, many of the Hasidic tunes were stolen from the people that lived around the shtetls that they resided in. But serious music, non-frivolous music, that was never prohibited. The chol shemuteres b'chol shana kula, apabin asar lo nesra. And even during the 3 weeks, listening to serious music would not be forbidden. Shari lo haisa gezer miucheres al musica b'meya evel. And then he throws him right at the end, answers the second question. And therefore, since it was music, since it was music of a simcha dika nature, of a upbeat nature that the rabbis banned, when I practice the guitar, I practice violin, there isn't an element of simcha to that. I'd say almost as an element of monotony to that, that you're trying to practice your instrument. I attempted when I was a kid to play the drums, and then my bar mitzvah lessons came, and then I never picked up the drums after that. So, but when I did, it's like, I enjoy it to a certain degree, but it's work also. There's no real element of simcha to practicing the instrument to the extent that the rabbis would prohibit it. So one could practice their instrument during the 3 weeks as well. He doesn't say this, but others do. Look, if you could practice on music that is more somber in nature and still get your practice in, it'd be better to pick more somber songs rather than the happier songs. And so he concludes, "Me'ikar adin mutar l'shmua musika ritzis me'beina mitzarim, v'odin gamal mo nagina, me'sir se'omer lo nag l'asar el simcha shel rikudim." So there we go. During the 3 weeks, one is allowed to listen to serious music. And during Sfirsa Omer, lo nagul asar ala simcha shel rikudim. We only asar simcha of a dancing nature. And so if you look in Pnei Halacha, for those who follow our Pnei Halacha in the morning, Rav Malamed actually says that music that's of a neutral or somber nature, there might even be the somber nature, there might even be like a mitzvah almost, to be listening to somber music during the 3 weeks. Not that it's asar, but it's a mitzvah, because like the violin, or like those instruments that accompany a funeral that add to the feelings of somberness, music during the 3 weeks, during the Avelis period, also would contribute to that general feeling as well. So that is his approach to music.
So I'll give you a little wrinkle in there. Of course, July 4th, patriotic music.
Yeah. So you're asking, would one be allowed to listen to that? So I know, the tough challenge we have is we've been throwing around the term simcha, right? We've been saying music with an element of simcha is problematic. The issue is, how do we define simcha? Does simcha mean upbeat? Does it mean more frivolous? Does it mean like revelry? Does it just mean happy? So, I guess I would translate simcha as upbeat. So I'm not sure if, he's singing, "I'm proud to be an American." You know, I don't think that's, yeah. I'm not sure if that's Simcha per se.
Inspirational stuff with an inspirational tone.
It's inspirational, but I would say that falls more into almost serious music also.
But it, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't there a distinction made between the 3 weeks and the 9 days? That the 9 days.
There are certain people. What they'll do is, you know, they will listen to recorded music during 3 weeks and then stop during the 9 days. The thing is, one's not supposed to be getting married during the 3 weeks, and since that's really that's the origin of the prohibition of listening to music, it would make sense that whatever you hold should apply throughout the 3 weeks. Though some distinguish, I'm not so familiar if that approach actually is substantiated by Poskim. Might be, I'm just not familiar with that. Okay, time to go check on the baby. But Yasher Tolach, everyone.
Have fun, thank you.
Thank you all for coming, and God willing, see you Wednesday for only this week. Gemara will be Wednesday, so as not to conflict with Rabbi Hammer's lecture. Okay.
I will see the baby tomorrow.
Oh, yes, you'll see the baby tomorrow, God willing, Zadie. All right, you'll cover for me while I'm at a funeral.
And Bobby will be very helpful.
Okay, we're looking forward. All right, have a good night.
You too.